Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Orange Juice News and Notes from around the world of insoles. I am one of your co-hosts, Owen Kinoy, and here's my other co-host, Marcia Kinoy. What's going on, Marcia?
Living the dream, getting ready for spring break, getting hyped to get a week off. How about you, Owen?
I'm good. If you guys are tuning in on video, you can see Marcia and I have two differing outfits on. I have more of like a sweatshirt with a insulated vest on over it, and Marcia's got a nice tank top and tan and a hat on. So that's kind of what's going on. We're actually really excited to talk about spring break today and some of the things that come with it, feet and back wise. But an exciting announcement just to share with everyone before we get into that too much. I know we shared recently that we launched our new Orange Sport insoles and that there might be some partnerships down the road, that sort of thing. We have an upcoming partnership that you will see on our socials and YouTube channel coming up with a 2020 Tokyo team alternate for USA. She loves the Orange Sports insoles and also actually found the Orange Light insoles to be especially useful for her as well in what she does in her sport. Stay tuned. In other news, spring break is upon us. My family is going to be road tripping, or actually we're going to get on a plane. We're not driving by car from Michigan to Florida to visit none other than Marcia. So it'll be such a wonderful few days while we are there in the sunshine with Marcia.
Well, I go by Gamma because Owen's little daughter, Harper, calls me Gamma now. Not Grandma, Gamma. So you're coming to Gamma's house. It's that time of year. And I will say our other office is in Florida and it's very busy down here. I think it's already kicked in on spring break. So this is a very, very prime time topic. When I heard what the topic was this week, I was like, yep, absolutely makes sense to me. So I'm super excited to talk about back pains and how to properly pack the proper shoes for your trip. So look forward to it.
So on spring break, I always love to eat some good food, relax, lay by the pool. In this case, go to the beach, maybe play a round of golf, perhaps. And just take it easy, but I do like to stay active so I can actually feel good about myself once I smash a full bowl of guac along with chips, two margaritas, some tacos, maybe some queso, that sort of thing. So,
Owen, I have a question for you though. Like growing up, like what was your, we obviously took you on spring break every year. As you know, Owen is my son. So where were like, what was one of your favorite spring breaks? Don't bring up your senior year. Obviously that was fun.
So yeah, senior year in Mexico was fun, but what I will say is we actually didn't always go on spring break. We went President's Day weekend to Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And we would stay home sometimes on spring break, which was totally fine. I loved a little staycation. But later on, we started going to Panama City Beach. It was really a cool setup. That was definitely my favorite and the one that sticks out, where you got, you know, your like condo that's basically in a hotel, and the hotel has the pool downstairs. And then the hotel is also right next to the beach, so you can walk over to the beach if you want to do that. And there's shopping centers and this and that. And that was always a lot of fun.
That was fun. Yeah, we did that for like 4 or 5 years in a row, I think. When you kids got older and we outgrew Grandma's house in Florida for President's Weekend, where it was just too, we just didn't have enough room. So we went to Panama City Beach. I forgot about that. Yeah, we did that for a long time. Fun. I always looked forward to all of it. We always drove to that one too. That was like the 16-hour car ride. And we would strap up a TV in the back, bungee corded down for safety. And the kid, you guys would play Xbox the entire way down, which was awesome. So, and beat up on your sister a little bit. It was good. It was good. All right. Well, I just wanted to ask that question out there.
So Marcia, I do want to try to get a better idea of what we're going to do when we're there on vacation. I know I was there before, but you guys were just kind of first getting moved in and settled into your new spot. So for those of you who don't know, Marsha's setup in Florida is pretty close to a, you know, I'm not even going to be able to explain it. Marsha, why don't you explain your setup, just like where you're at in reference to everything around you, because you guys do a lot of like walking and biking and stuff. I don't even know that I can properly explain like all the cool things right there.
We have kayaks. We have a boat launch across the street. So we, to their point, we have these e-kayaks, which is brand new on the market. So it's like an e-bike and it's for a boat. So you can pedal. And then if you get tired or caught in some heavy waves, you can click on a button and it will just drive for you naturally. But so we have that, and we have to wear certain kind of shoes for that. And then we have bikes. We go down Casey Key is right here where we are. It's like a 6-mile key to the beach and to some good tiki huts. So we, you know, get our exercise in and drive down to a tiki hut and have breakfast and come back. And then we have the e-bikes and Trek bikes if you want a bike. We have the pool that's a 20x40 if you care to do some laps. I joke because no one does laps in the pool. We all lay by the pool. But if you want to be an overachiever like my neighbor, she does laps in the pool every afternoon at 3 o'clock. I'm trying to think what else. And then we walk. The key is so pretty to just walk. We get our steps in. There's a Stephen King, he's a book writer, is around the corner from us. So you can't go on his property. But we know if we touch his fence and come back, it's 3.2 miles. So we do that a couple of days a week as well, hoping to get a Stephen King spotting. So lots of things to do. And there's a park across the street that has those machines that no one does, but you're supposed to do, like stomach machines. It's all like position machines. There's like a circuit. It's all new. We're like, who funded that? Why did our tax dollars pay for that? Because nobody does it. But anyway, so there's that circuit thing. And then there's the O-Bar around the corner if you want to go dancing. And so Owen, pack your cute shoes so we can go dancing. So lots to do when you get down here.
So the O-Bar, is that somewhere you take like dance classes or what is that?
You can. They have country night dancing and then they have bands most night. And then if you want to get aggressive, there's pool and shuffleboard and darts and that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But we mostly do the dancing.
The main thing I'm hearing though is there's always a good way to maybe zip somewhere fun, whether it's walking or biking or kayaking and that sort of thing. What I love about the setup that you guys have is with the e-bike and the e-kayak, you can just pedal or paddle. I guess it would be the right way, pedal or paddle. Or if you do get tired, or like you were saying, maybe you're like going up a big hill on the e-bike, whatever it is, you can just flip that on and keep cruising. And what I find is that's going to help kind of prolong your adventure where you don't get burned out early by zipping up a few hills and maybe you're not used to doing all that like yours truly, me. And it just helps make the day a lot more fun. So I love that. And it's also interesting. I haven't actually seen in person like the workout equipment set up at a park. So do you guys ever actually see people using it?
No, that's the point. We're all like, who did this? No one comes over here. They all go to launch their boat. Like everyone's getting on the water. No one cares about these, like their sit-up machines, pull-up machines, you know, it's a whole circuit. So
maybe that's more of a California thing. I feel like that's where I see the videos online where it's like a bunch of people working out at like the outdoor gym sort of thing. I don't know.
They're a little older down here. I'm not sure we're California age. So that's why we laugh about it. But yeah.
Okay. Well, all that stuff is fun, but the reality is you might experience some aches and pains along the way if you're on your feet all day and doing all of this fun stuff. So that could be foot pain, but also is commonly back pain. And a lot of people will experience back pain and not really realize maybe this has something to do with the footwear I'm wearing, or maybe it has something to do with the makeup of my feet and the bones in my feet and that sort of thing. So with that said, I want to talk a little bit of just about back pain briefly and how it's going to impact you, or how you could be impacted by back pain, I should say. So the first thing is, I know we've talked about this in several other episodes, but it's so important, is your body is a kinetic chain. So everything is connected. And in this case, your back pain could start with your feet. So many people have flat feet or fallen arches, essentially meaning they just can't support their weight when they're taking each step. And that means they'll roll in on their foot, and then their ankle turns in, and their knee might rotate, and their pelvis dips. And all of these overcompensations, as we call them, for that just movement from your foot and the rolling in, can lead to aches and pains. And ultimately, it can work your way all the way up to your back. So that's where you may not think about your feet as a problem for your back pain, but it is often going to be one of the main focus areas that you need to take a look at. The other quick portion to quickly touch on, rather than just your feet and that foundation, is muscle imbalances. So if you are standing on your feet for a long period of time, or doing your activity, whatever it may be, your feet could be strong enough, and they could also even be supported by an insole or just great footwear. But if your calves or your hamstrings or your glutes aren't strong enough for that activity, those are going to start experiencing those, I guess, inefficient movements that I was talking about earlier. And that could also be a problem with why you may start experiencing back pain.
Well, have you had back pain before?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have had back pain, mostly, I think, since I had a child, but also since I moved into a home and have a pretty decent sized lawn. And I think that just becomes an overuse issue, whether that is directly from my back or even just overusing my feet and not wearing supportive footwear. But yeah, I've definitely had lower back pain, even in my 20s. So I know this could be a topic that's relevant for pretty much anyone across the board.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because, you know, one of the things people say is back pain always means a serious problem that's going on. And what you just described, which really is the truth, is that really back pain can be just a simple muscle strain. So all of a sudden you're doing the lawn, or you're picking up a 20-pound child nonstop, or, you know, you're just starting this new activity that's completely straining a different part of your body, that can, you know, result in this pain. I will say, I feel so bad when people have back pain. You don't realize, like, in your motion and everything you're doing through the day and you're using your body, it's like the worst to have a muscle strain through your back. And a lot of people panic about it too. If you have back pain, you know, they're like, don't do exercise, don't do anything, overdose on Motrin, you know, whatever it might be. But, you know, I think that's some of the conversation too. You actually, you know, should stay moving and active. And I think the thing people need to realize is you need to kind of choose your exercise or your activity, you know, what you are doing, to kind of let that heal a little bit, but you definitely don't want to stop moving. So I know for you with little Harper, you can't stop moving. Like, you can't stop picking her up, even though she's 20 pounds and you're straining something. But I think the good news is, with a lot of back pain, it's not like you need to leap to surgery or something. They're like a meniscus tear in your knee. Like, some of the knee stuff can get really aggressive quickly. It's something that might require surgery, but at least back pain, as much as it's a pain in the, I'll say, back, it really can be fixed over time with the, as it being not so serious as surgery, which is good news. But I was curious if you experienced, because you're young, so you young kids don't really get a lot.
And you make a good point. You make a good point about just there being varying degrees of back pain and seriousness. And what's most important is just to listen to your body. So if you're continually getting worse and not seeing improvement, or it's just something that you can't tolerate, maybe it's worth just calling the doctor and explaining the symptoms and seeing what they say. And they might refer you to the specialist, but also they might just tell you to take it easy for a little bit. And that doesn't mean to stop moving, like Marcia said, but maybe just being hyper aware of the activities you're doing, and also maybe the footwear that you're wearing or the insoles that you're putting in your footwear. Because ultimately, like I said, it comes down to two things. One is the kinetic chain, which can easily be addressed from the ground up with our insoles. The full length, really all of the insoles we carry have the arch support to help with lower back pain. And then also there's the muscle imbalances. And what you can do for the muscle imbalances is strength training. So you don't have to be necessarily using your back in these exercises, but maybe you're working on your lower body and doing calf strengthening exercises or exercises to strengthen your glutes and your hamstrings and your quads and all of that. And sure enough, those are still activities that are going to get your heart rate up, keep you moving, keep you active, that sort of thing.
I will jump in and say, I have had back pain and been to the doctor. And, you know, one thing to Owen's point, they'll give you these like sheets of exercise, and some of it's just gentle movement, some of it's stretching. And then there's something, always something to do with strengthening. So there's somewhere you need to strengthen those certain muscles that are, you know, causing that pain in your back. So that's a really valid comment around, if you call your doctor, it's worth the phone call, and you can do a Zoom call now and get what are the right stretches or movement. I think you could almost Google it online. I feel like you can almost get anything for stretching and movement online as well, specifically, but it's always good to be diagnosed properly. But yeah, that was a really good point, Owen. And then I have good news for you, Owen. Okay. You know, a lot of people think bad back means that it's like it runs in the family, like, oh shoot, you know, kind of thing. Just like, you know, arthritis does, or, you know, different things like that. But actually, reality is, yes, arthritis does, is hereditary. And yes, you will have it, because I have it. I'm kidding. You might not have it, but yes, I have it really bad. Because my
you
mom
said
has
good news. Good news.
Okay, oh, sorry. Stick to the good news. Yeah, I just brought you down 100%. But back pain actually is just kind of like a myth about it runs in the family. It has nothing to do with that. It's more about posture, your back activity. You know, which is nice to know, the ball's in your court. You can control and fix it. It won't be a long-term effect that you're fighting against, like arthritis or heart, things like that that are hereditary. So good news on this topic for you, Owen.
All right. The other thing to add is, and we've been talking a lot about strengthening and being, I guess, equipped to handle your activity and if your body is used to it and that sort of thing. But you could be a very well in shape person and still have back pain pop up, especially like we were talking about earlier on spring break. Reason being is maybe all of a sudden you're wearing these cute flip-flops that you've never put on because you just ordered them before the trip. And then you got in 10,000 steps because you were walking up and down the beach and all that sort of thing. And now your feet and assuredly your back are just killing you. So the picture I'm trying to paint is footwear is also a really big thing that can play into your back pain, and just making sure that you avoid some of those shoes that really lack support.
Yeah. The only thing I was going to back up and say, when you get on the plane, you know, that airplane ride, you know, for spring break, you know, a lot of people are not used to like sitting for long periods of time, excuse me. And it can be stressful because you had to pack, get out the door, be on time, yada, yada. So, you know, back pain isn't always caused by injury. Back pain can be caused by stress. It can be caused by long periods of time sitting that you were not used to before. So I would say, you know, when you land, you know, make sure you kind of walk it off, stretch a little bit, do all that. And I always used to laugh at people who get up in the airplane and walk and do stretching and stuff. I'm like, what are they doing? But now I realize they actually are being proactive, because wherever they're going, they're like, I'm not going to have back pain when I get there, or stress from bad posture, from a 3-hour flight, leaning forward like this, watching my movie, or, you know, leaning forward with my, you know, earphones, looking down at my computer. So, that whole plane ride can, you know, just remember that the stress, sitting long periods, all that can add to back pain too. But the good news is the back pain won't, you know, doesn't have to last a long time when you get to where you're going. You can work through it. And I love the shoe thing because all these darn airplanes have weight limits. So what's the first thing you're trying to do is like, what weighs the most in your suitcase? Your shoes. So you're trying to like, just take the minimal shoes when you really do need certain shoes when you get to where you're going. So I love the shoe topic because that's usually the first thing I pull out is the good shoes because I'm like, I'll just wear my flats every day, my flip-flops, because be on the beach and that flip-flop doesn't weigh much and it doesn't take much space in my luggage. But reality is, as Owen has already hit on, you probably want to pop in the shoe with some support. And that might not be the flat Mary Jane shoes, the heels or the, you know, flat flip-flop. But what are the things we should be packing?
Yeah, you're 100% right. Luckily, these days, we've wised up and manufacturers of shoes and flip-flops and insoles have wised up where, first off, you can still find sandals or even some heels that have built-in R support. I know we've referenced previously the brand Birkenstock as a great one to check out, but Birkenstocks really do have a great footbed that has built up arch support really on all four of your arches, which we'll maybe talk about in another podcast because that's a whole thing. But also there's another few brands. One is called Vionic, and they have all sorts of sandals and some casual footwear and heels, and they have a built-in arch. And also another one that I know the store carries at Playmakers is UFOs that people love. Those are a high cushioned sandal. Or, and I guess they do have some shoes as well and flip-flops, but they kind of have this rocker bottom to help take the pressure off of your ankle and those joints. But then also they're really high cushion to have a built-in arch. So just kind of an all around, almost like a Hoka if it was a flip-flop, realistically, if you're familiar with those.
Those are all great solutions. It's I'm glad you brought up the Birkenstock. So, you know, Birkenstocks are trendy right now and they have a lot of, for girls, they have a lot of cute colors. Men, they have these casual colors that I think could go with any outfit. So like you pack it, it's great for walking, but it's great for if you're trying to dress up that night for like at a resort or whatever you're doing. They're just the great neutral colors that shoe can knock out a lot of events and what you're planning on for your trip.
And then, one thing though is just make sure you break in your Birkenstocks because they do have Birkenstocks specifically have a break-in period. So if you were to order them like and they arrive a day or two before you go on your trip, your feet might not be used to all that support. So that may be one quick disclaimer. If you are going to jump into Birkenstocks, give yourself a little time.
I love that because that's the same as, you know, with insoles, you know, so you need to break it in. It's just because your body's adjusting to that new support that's happening. And Birkenstocks has a very similar footbed as our insole. So we're very familiar with that type of shoe and that brand. And then did you I will also say, what's that one brand? Hey Dudes. Okay. Cause I see that brand a lot down here. It seems like people are wearing that a lot in warm weather. But the Hey Dude footbed, if I remember right, is not, there's really nothing there. So that would be one. It's a good looking shoe. It's a great casual shoe. If I'm a guy, I'd be wearing it because it's, you can dress it up or down the same shoe, whatever you're doing. But I would definitely probably want to throw in an insert into that shoe before your trip. So I don't know if you have a pair of those, Owen.
No, I don't. For those reasons you listed, just that they're not overly supportive. However, they are quite fashionable. They're a great price point and readily available. So that's why I think people really like them. So yeah, like you said, you could plug in the orange light insole or orange 3/4. That would be something that would work well in those. And that could really elevate the whole level of the shoe. And for certain people in certain situations, that might be all it takes is just, you know, a Hey Dude and an insole. But there are some cases as well where you might have some great footwear picked out. Maybe you have Hokas that have the most cushion and they're a really supportive shoe, and you also even put an orange insole in, and you're just ready to go. But you didn't think about that you bought those Hokas 4 years ago, and you've done 5,000 miles in them, and the orange insoles are 6 years old, and you need to get new ones. So that's obviously an extreme case, but make sure to think about, hey, are these shoes worn out? And that doesn't always mean, you know, do they look dirty? It's more so, how are the materials underneath the foot holding up? And you can really just test it out. Usually take a shoe and kind of, I guess, try to bend it and that sort of thing, and look to see if there are any creases on the midsole or in the foam area. But also, just let's say you're saying to yourself, these shoes have had more comfortable days. That's probably an immediate signal that they're worn out and you should just replace them. So that's something also to not breeze over, is making sure you have fresh footwear as well.
Fair. So I guess my last thought is, I meant to look into this before the call, was where's like the trendy place people are going for spring break?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I'm not a trendy spring breaker anymore. I don't know if you know, I'm a father of two at 18 months or less. So I don't know what the kids are doing. I guess I can say our cousin actually landed in Cabo yesterday. I was Snapchatting him. So, and he's a senior in college. So maybe, hey, I think he's pretty cool. Maybe Cabo is the place to be now.
Well, I agree. I think everyone's kind of going that way. It's a quick, easy flight. The other thing people are doing now, which I don't understand, is skiing. So many people are going out to, you know, Utah, Park City, to Colorado, to Lake Tahoe. It's like the trend. But then I forget, you know, people in our Florida office do that because they're in the heat all year. So they do go skiing. So this is new to me growing up in Michigan. It's like, why the heck would I go from cold to cold and pay to do that? But now I keep realizing that, you know, these ski trips are a big deal. And when you go skiing in those high mountains, it is nice and warm, and you still get in the hot tub and get some good sun and that type of thing. So I was just curious what the new trend is. A lot of people do international Iceland, and which is a quick, easy 5 hour flight over and things like that. But
quick, easy 5 hour flight.
That is to Iceland. I did it this summer, last summer. But it's just a 5 hour flight. That's
there's
pretty
levels
good
for everything, right? That's quick and easy for some people.
Got to see the little puffin birds. They're so cute. Anyhow, all right. Awesome. I was just curious if you're a hip and knew that. I should have searched it before this call.
Well, yeah, I'd be curious if you did search it, what it would say. But good luck in all of your spring break travels. We hope you're going somewhere warm, or even somewhere cold, where maybe you have a hobby you really like skiing. And thanks for listening. Hope these tips help you out to make the most of your vacation, and we'll see you on our next episode.